This is UN and Africa from the United Nations in New York. I'm Matthew Wells. In this week's programme, we'll hear from the UN photographer putting a human face on the deadly drought in Somalia, and the daughter of renowned Eritrean journalist Dawit Isaac, who's just been awarded a major press freedom prize, although he's not been seen since 2005. But first, the triple threat of drought, disease and displacement is taking a terrible toll on children in Somalia, according to the UN Children's Agency, UNICEF. It's projecting that the number of malnourished children there has risen by 50% since the beginning of the year to 1.4 million. Deanne Penn's been speaking to Susanna Price, Chief of Communications for UNICEF Somalia, who's based in Nairobi.
The drought has spread throughout the country, and it's having a devastating effect on the whole population. But of course, in these kinds of situations, it's the children who begin to suffer the most. So what we're seeing is children who are severely malnourished, who are suffering from life-threatening levels of malnutrition. They're becoming very sick as well. We have a widespread of acute watery diarrhea, cholera. We've had measles breaking out. We've got a lot of other sicknesses and ill health. And this is really all compounded to make a terrible situation for children. So we're doing all we can in terms of providing clean water, providing vaccinations, providing health posts, doing all we can to try and contain this situation and make sure it doesn't get any worse.
Have you been to the field and seen the situation?
I've been out in the field several times, and really the situation is very desperate. I went down to Baidoa, which is the area that was the epicenter of the 2011 famine. I went into the cholera treatment center and saw young babies and young children brought in suffering from terrible vomiting, diarrhea, and looking extremely weak. I mean, the good news on the acute watery diarrhea cholera is that it is very treatable, and you saw people making a very quick recovery once the intravenous drips had been put into people's arms. They'd been rehydrated. I've also talked to families of children who are severely malnourished. Often it's not malnutrition because they're starving per se, it's because the children are weak from malnutrition, but then are catching these other diseases and illnesses. And once they're determined to be severely malnourished, they're given this supply of the therapeutic peanut paste, and they make a dramatic recovery as well.
And no doubt this situation is having an effect on children's ability to go to school.
Absolutely. You have families, they're on the move, about 615,000 people who've moved. So obviously they're taking their children out of school. You're getting families, even when they stay in the same place, who want the children to go out to work or to look after the animals or to go and find water, or they simply can't afford, you know, the low school fees that there are. So we've seen 40,000 children who've been forced to stop attending school. And we are worried that possibly another 110,000 more are at risk of dropping out of school. So this is one of the terrible effects of the drought.
Deanne Penn talking to UNICEF's Susanna Price. Well, as we just heard, rains failed for the third year in a row in some parts of Somalia, raising the spectre of mass famine. Mus Mohammed, a multimedia officer with the International Organization for Migration, IOM, has just returned from a month-long assignment to document how people have been affected, as well as aid agencies' efforts to assist them. Liz Scafidi asked Mr. Mohammed to describe what he'd seen.
I was there between around March and April of this year. What we tried to do is try to show just the sheer situation, the needs of people that are affected throughout the country. So some of the areas we went to, Kismayo and Baidoa. We also visited the north, which is also heavily affected, as well as bordering areas such as Dolo, which is literally on the border of Somalia and Ethiopia.
So perhaps you can describe what you saw.
Well, what's quite striking is the sheer dryness of the locations. You will see the dried carcasses of animals. And the thing about that is that it's more than just simply seeing dozens of dead camels and donkeys and goats, but these are the livelihoods of people. So what you're seeing is complete deterioration in terms of people's livelihoods, as well as literal dry rivers. In the case of on the border of Ethiopia, where you'll see completely dried up rivers, which normally acted as a natural border between the two countries, and now that it's dried, You'll see hundreds of displaced people contemplating whether or not they should literally just cross that to go into refugee camps in Ethiopia because they don't know where else to go to at that point. And the hospitals, the malnourishment. And it's not just a specific age group. It's not just children, but it's adults and elderly alike.
Did any one person or experience particularly jump out at you?
The sheer amount of children, I think, overall is what kind of got me. Actually, one of them was this little girl that she had burn marks on specific parts of her body. And when we asked why that was the case, they said it was because the family had resorted to traditional remedies. In this case, they used burning sticks to try to burn away the source of the pain, which, I mean, that's not going to work.
What would you say your photographs tell us about the work of the international community in the field?
Despite seeing the conditions that people are in, work is being done. Lives are in fact being saved. Not only are things being done by different agencies, but the sheer reach that, you know, the international community is doing through the help of local organizations as well is quite incredible, because one of the main problems in Somalia is access. It often results in people having to come to where we are. Seeing organizations slowly get to these harder-to-reach areas is something that should be kind of taken into account.
Is there anything else you'd like to add?
Everyone wishes for is rains. It's not an immediate solution. Even if it rains now, the people of Somalia are still going to need the help of the UN.
Moose Mohammed talking there to Liz Gafidi. An imprisoned Eritrean-born journalist whose current whereabouts are not known has won a UN-backed award that celebrates freedom of the press. Dawit Isaak is the recipient of the 2017 UNESCO Guillermo Cano World Press Freedom Prize, presented on Wednesday in Jakarta. Mr. Isaak, who is also a Swedish citizen, was known for his critical and insightful reporting, according to UNESCO of the UN Cultural Agency. He was arrested in a media crackdown in Eritrea in September 2001 and has not been heard from since 2005. Liz Gafidi spoke to his daughter, Bethlehem, who accepted the award on his behalf.
It means, as I said in my speech, it's the recognition of his work and his passion and him as a person and human being. I'm raising awareness through talking about him to people, to schools, and doing some other projects about him and about freedom of speech and human rights. So I've been raising awareness the last couple of years together with some other people who work with me.
I read once that you spent a night in a mock-up of a completely dark cell in which the authorities are believed to be holding him. What did you hope to achieve by that?
I was hoping to get a sense of maybe what he felt like. I know I will never get that, but I was feeling that I wanted to know what it felt like, because that campaign was to do it in 15 minutes. But I decided to sleep there overnight. And actually, after a couple of hours, because I had no phone, I had no watch, I had no clock, you know. So after a couple of hours, I actually felt forgotten and alone. And I was thinking, oh my God, This is the destiny for many people, not only my father, but many people live like that for years. And my father maybe have done that in 16 years. We don't know.
Are you a journalist yourself, Bethlehem?
I know people call me a journalist, but I would call myself a storyteller. Yeah, I'm a storyteller. I try to portray other people's stories and my father's stories, but I don't know if I'm a journalist. I think people can decide that by themselves.
The Director General of UNESCO pointed out that your father has spent nearly 16 years in jail without charge or trial. How is he being remembered in the country?
In Eritrea, I don't know. I can't answer that. But in Sweden, he's remembered by the campaigns and by our work and by always telling his story and stories that are similar to his. I think it's important for people to have awareness about this problem that is all over the world, not just in Eritrea. Journalists are facing this kind of problems everywhere, and we really have to acknowledge it, not just because they're journalists, but because they're humans.
And that brings us to the end of this edition of UN in Africa, and you can follow more of our programmes at radio.un.org. We're also on Facebook and on Twitter. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Matthew Wells.